if I ever stood in a pulpit in an attitude of fear and trembling, it's today. Something has happened this week that we're going to show you on a video. And I've been very careful not to prepare a message, because I believe the Lord has some things He wants to say. And He'll have to draw off the library that's within me. So, most of you are familiar with what we've called the blueprint for 2020. And that's 10 prophecies that came through our beloved Bronc Flint, pastor of the prayer center in Immokalee, Florida. And then subsequent to that, to the blueprint, which we gave, he gave us very precise instructions in those. The most detailed I've ever seen in my life. Then, during this year that has transpired, the Lord has brought several more words through Pastor Bronc that are like subsequent type instructions and to keep us motivated, but never changing the original 10. Now, many have been faithful to follow those instructions. Some have come corporately to pray. Some couldn't, who live in other places. We have so many around the world that are a part of this, and they can't pray here, of course, so they pray where they are. And yes, sir. Okay, so here we go. On July 26th of this year, a prophecy came through me, which again, I don't have a copy of it. The title on it, so you can look it up, is Endure This Period of Intense Training. Another title that would have been appropriate would be, Can You Hear the Sound of My Shofar? Now the shofar, in case you don't know, is made out of a ram's horn. And it's what God would use as a trumpet. And one of the most common uses of it was when they were going into battle. And I can assure you, when Israel would bring the Ark of the Covenant, which is a type of His presence, and these enemies had heard of what God had done through Israel to other nations, when they would bring the Ark of that Covenant representing the very presence of God and blow the shofar, buddy, war had come. War had come. See? And from the devil's point of view, God doesn't fight fair. But because God employs angels. See, the Lord of hosts does not just mean the Lord of the armies of Israel. Really, if you really study it out, every time He uses that phrase, He is the Lord of angel armies. And I want to remind you again, when it looks really bad, like the prophet and his servant Gehazi were surrounded by thousands upon thousands of the enemy, and it looked very bad. So Gehazi, he goes in to warn the prophet, tell the prophet about this dire... Gehazi, for the moment, was the news media. He was the media giving the evil report, if you'll allow me. But see, the prophet could see what Gehazi could not see. He said, no, don't worry. There's more with us. There be more with us than be with them. And the prophet asked the Lord to open Gehazi's eyes, which I'm asking the Lord to open our media's eyes. Fear and trembling, I told you. You're lucky I'm not just standing here crying. There's such reverence for what our Father is doing. So the prophet asked the Lord to open Gehazi's eyes, and he saw it. Won't that be something? He looked on the mountains, and he saw the angels and the chariots and the fire. How many are glad Jesus is the Lord of angel armies? within the last 2 weeks, I read again that example from the book of Joshua. And Joshua and his army was winning. They were pushing the enemy back and they were winning. But see, God wanted to get involved also. It's a type, perfect type and shadow of how not only does the new nature set you free, but the Holy Spirit also helps. Well, Joshua and his army was winning and they were pushing back the enemy. They were winning the war. But God wanted to also help. God, now I told you the devil didn't think God plays fair. God started throwing hailstones at them from heaven. Big hailstones. And at the end of it, it was said there were more that died from the hailstones than died from the sword. And you don't think praying in tongues makes a difference? The Holy Spirit also helping. So on July 26, surprised me, a word came through me, and it's, can you hear the sound of my shofar? He mentioned that two or three times. And then it brought at the end of that prophecy, he said, your call to war is soon, and your instructions are soon upon you, to that effect. Well, that was July 26. September 26, 2 months later, to the day, there was an event in Washington, D.C., called the Return, a 12-hour event where leaders, Christian leaders of all different colors, all different denominations, all different faiths, and then there was a whole lot of Mary Wallpaper, Joe Publix. They didn't even put their name up because they didn't know who they were. The point of the Return was 2 Chronicles 7:14. That was the point. I don't know how many times it was quoted that day. Where if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. You remember the first word the Lord gave me this year after I saw the fire? It came through another man, but still it was God talking to me. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself until you cannot humble yourself anymore. And then humble yourself some more. 2 Chronicles 7:14 again. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, there's an if and a then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And that program started, the very first thing you hear on that Return, if you want to see it on YouTube, is the blast of the shofar. 2 months later to the day, and all day, they blasted them all day. Many people brought shofars. The sound of the shofar was heard in our nation's capital. Yeah. All day long. Repentance, repentance. See, when it says turn from their wicked ways, of course that includes any kind of sin. Fornication, adultery, that type of thing. But see, when it says turn from our wicked ways, talking about my people, the church, building a big church, using man's wisdom and business principles, God help us for the term seeker-friendly that ever appeared in the church. Trying to build ministries without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Taking the dove off of the sign. Not giving invitations for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Banning people from prophesying and laying on of hands. If my God is right, what? Who do we think we are? No wonder it starts off, well, humble themselves. Who do you think you are? Church services in America don't look anything like Jesus' services. In his services, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. The Holy Spirit is loosed. He's free to do the will of the Father in the name of Jesus. Humble yourselves, church. Who do you think you are? Take my Holy Spirit out. Build a big... So when turn from their wicked ways, is not just turning from sin, it's turning from man's wisdom instead of doing it God's way. So we have big churches with no life. We have big churches where people living in open fornication don't think a thing about it, can come and feel comfortable in a service with no conviction of the Holy Ghost. God help us all. God help us all. See. Okay. He keeps telling me the sequence. First came the blueprint. Some of the titles, bring me gold. Remember? Bring me gold. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be returned in the earth again. And he gave us instructions. We began to pray. Then on July 26th, the prophecy. Can you hear the sound of my shofar? 2 months later to the day, the shofar is sounded. So all day long in our capital. Now, this past Wednesday night. Yes, sir. While I've got you in thinking about the timing. See, I didn't realize this till after I saw what you're about to see. We're going to see two prophecies that I've kind of combined into one video about the revival. But when I watched it, it took a little while for me to pray afterwards for the Lord to get across to me the timing. And I just so you'll know, I called Bronk to see if he had seen that yet, and he hadn't seen it. Bronk was totally surprised when the prophecy started flowing through him. He didn't know it was coming. If it's real prophecy, you hardly ever do. And the one speaking hears it when you hear it. You don't get to judge it first. But I get this. I was allowed to bring this. This is from Bring Me Gold, which is the second prophecy in the blueprint. Now, this date is important. This came through Bronk. October 13th, 2019. I'm going to read down through a certain place. Have I not asked you, being a body from the very beginning, to bring forth that in the earth, which I have laid my hand on you to bring forth? Now he's talking about the vision that God gave Dave from the beginning. Take a group of people, go far enough into me to bring a supernatural outpouring to a religious city that will then spread around the world. There it is. And in one sentence, you talk about something you can laser focus on. You can laser focus on that. From the beginning, that was the mandate. And I caution you again and encourage you again and solicit from you again as my dear children to bring me gold tried by fire, says the Spirit of grace. And I do not speak specifically of the trying of fire by testings and trials of which your faith will often be. But I am asking you to come. Now, I'm asking you to come and complete the purging process. What's the purpose of coming? Complete the purging process. And see, right now, again, I am not going to disobey anything that he shows me. Because that takes me to the first of the year when he showed me that wall of fire. I mean, it was extended as far as I could see to the right, as far as I could see to the left, but the command was go forward. And there was no going forward. There's no possible way to go forward without going through that fire. Now the Lord said it differently through Bronk. Complete the purging process. You remember John the Baptist? The one coming after me? John says, I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Welcome to the blueprint for 2020. Do not trade your gold for brass. Do not trade your gold for brass. For have I not asked you, have I not selected you, have not I cautioned you, that I have not selected you above others, that you should go in the way of pride or arrogance, yet I have given you a calling that no one can achieve in the earth, except through prayer and except through fasting, says the Spirit of grace. Except through going into my word and the things of depth and promise. Now, this is the paragraph that I'm going to stop after this paragraph. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning? And I believe he's talking about when he gave Dave the vision that would not fit within any other man's vision, and he had to establish, start the prayer center. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning, says the Spirit of grace? And I have gathered your hearts and souls here as one. Here meaning you might be in Australia just as linked arms with us as any person sitting in this room. Okay? Or London, or around the world. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning, says the Spirit of grace? And I have gathered your hearts and souls here as one to bring forth that mandate of prayer, says the Spirit of God, says the Spirit of the Lord. Now this is the sentence. Go into me like you never have. Listen to this phrase. Determine in this year to come. Now that's important. Determine in this year to come that you will make this a place of prayer inside you like you have never known. Put your hand on your heart. I am the temple of God. I am the house of God. This house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. Now when he says this year to come, I didn't know if he meant starting in January. I know now that's not what he meant. And you'll know why in just a moment. Because that, when he said that, determine in this year to come, what we're going to play for you is a prophecy that came October 14th, Wednesday. Now, did you get, you got received that word, give me this year to come, on October 13th of 2019. So when is a year later? October 13th, 2020. But there was no service that night. So the first service, which is the very next day on a Wednesday, the first service after this coming year, the Lord spoke what we're about to see through Pastor Bronk. And I'm going to sit down where I can watch it with you, and then I'll get back up and we'll see what the Lord... I know a few things, but we'll see what he wants to do. This is 1 year and a day. A year and a day.
It's too late, saith the Spirit of the Lord. It's far too late, saith the Lord, for this thing to be stopped. It's been declared in heaven that it's been released. The dam of my glory has already burst, saith the Spirit of the Lord. It's past the point of any adversary stopping this outpouring, saith the Spirit of the Lord. That which I have decreed has been sent forth. The army host of heaven have already been being briefed in the Spirit, and assignments have already gone out, saith the Spirit of the Lord, of the winds and the wares of how these things will fall over my nation and over this nation, saith the Spirit of grace. For the adversaries in the church or out of the church to stop this thing, it's far too late, saith the Spirit of the Lord. This thing has come to a cup that is full in measure, and I have received the prayers of my people and the earnestness of them, saith the Lord. So I say unto you that which I've said many times in the past, get ready, but be earnest in your expectation. As the children of Israel slept or stayed up all night, the night before their passage into freedom, with their sandals on and their shoes and their clothes, and they ate their meal in speed, as if something was about to happen. So say I unto you, expect this thing, for nothing now can stop it. It has come to full measure, and that authority in the earth which I have yearned for and asked for has come to a place, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Many will continue. And I encourage you to continue to speak my word as this birthing comes through the birth canal into the fullness. But I say unto you, this thing has been released in heaven. I say unto you, the assignments of the whens and the wheres of how this thing will come about, where it will fall and how it will leap from place to place, has already been assigned, saith the Spirit of the Lord, based upon authority and based upon prayers of my saints. So I say unto you, live in the expectation of it in an earnest manner. Turn aside from anyone that has any less expectation and says these are a pipe dream or something that has been orchestrated by man, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Do not even try to convince them otherwise. Turn aside and go on your way, because the expectation is now, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Stay in that place, ready to receive, because I say unto you, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, saith the Lord. Glory. Glory. The prophetic is on me tonight, so I can't help myself. I have to be obedient. For these things I say unto my church, for those who press in and those who understand the enduring process, and who understand those things that are coming upon the face of the earth. For even as I promised my revival, also understand this, that there is a great war set in front of the church in days ahead, saith the Spirit of grace. This war will be fought with great victory in the face of miracles and unseen things that have not been seen since the first church, saith the Spirit of grace. No one man will lead this, but it will be led by a marching army. But also, I warn you in the Spirit, that as this war is fought and will be won on many fronts, and as I have said this night, that it has been released, it has been declared, it has been granted for this time and season, the revival is among you. Also understand that your enemy, though limited in knowledge, understands that something is coming. And the revival that will produce the harvest will also change the nation, saith the Spirit of grace. For even now, as my angel army is being set in effect for this outpouring, know that the hordes of hell and the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and every other spiritual kind of wickedness, as in demonic powers, are also receiving instruction, because they understand that something is coming. They've seen the signs of my moves in the earth in times gone by, and how that I would solicit from my people the prayers necessary for the authority for my spirit to move. And they understand when my spirit is about to do something, although they cannot stop it, they will do everything possible in this nation in the next few months to bring forth chaos like you have never seen in many places. Not all places, but in many places. At times, will be turned into things that could escalate to something similar to a war zone. But know this, the prayers of the saints availeth much. Satan is like a child that has been said yes to for many decades. No generation in the past 40 plus years has said no to him in his way in this nation in regards to laws in effect that would continually destroy the image of my word in this nation. And now, because of the prayers of the saints, know this, that these things are not by accident. That as revival comes to a place of precipice, as revival comes to a place of threshold, so is the nation moved in many different ways, saith the Spirit of the Lord. And when this nation is reproved and certain things are changed, and even before they are changed, know this, that the enemy will throw temper tantrums like a child that thrashes about. But understand this, that even as a child is subdued, so the church will subdue these principalities. Even as I have described to you that angels are taking orders from me and from my spirit for what my intention is in the deliberateness of this revival, understand also that your counterpart is getting ready to unleash what he believes will thwart this, stop it. But understand that, as I said, nothing will be able to stop this tidal wave of my glory, saith the Spirit of the Lord. The revival changes the nation, not the change of the nation causes the revival. It is not by might nor by power, but is by my spirit, saith the Lord, that all these things are being brought about. And this is the last generation, saith the Lord. These things will come about and bring into effect my great harvest. On the right hand and on the left, you will see great things coming about. And at the same time, you will be seeing judgment in churches, in ministries. The candlestick of many well-known ministries will be removed. And the lack of anointing and the dryness of an arid place having no spirit will be my judgment. But if these will turn, I will receive them back again. Cities will be judged. Places will be judged. But at the same time, my spirit will be working to bring forth a great harvest, saith the Spirit of grace. Stand in me and declare these things as if they had happened yesterday. Because the day that you stand in, as I said, is far spent. And a new horizon is upon you now. A place that will be new to all of you. A place that you've petitioned me for all these years going forward, when you could not see and you could not hear. But I say unto you, these days are upon you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus.
God is good. God is good. Now, we'll have those prophecies. I checked, they're already available in MP3 format at bronkflint.org. And there's a prophecy section. They're there already. They'll probably be ready, be made available at the Dave Roberson Ministries, and our ministry will put a link somehow. And with Bronk's permission, which I'm sure he'll give, we'll put the PDFs of those prophecies. Now, there was a third prophecy also. It has to do with healing and supernatural healing. But I asked the Lord, he said, no, today for this message, laser focused on revival. Okay, laser focused today. Now, healing is part of that. Okay. Now, I've had a few days to digest this, and most of you just now heard it. But I began asking the Lord, because the tendency to some when they hear this is going to be to, oh, well, good, we've made it. And no, we haven't. You know where today really is? This is what he showed me. When he says, it's released, it's like granted. He says it several different ways. How many of you remember when Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days? The angel said, the angel was coming the whole time. Daniel didn't know that. When the angel got there, he said, your request was heard and granted the first day you prayed. Wednesday, our prayer was heard and granted in heaven. How many of you know after Daniel's prayer was answered in the spirit realm, there was great war? And Daniel on earth, what if he'd have stopped after day 10? See, we're at conception, we're not at birth. Did you notice it says, he mentioned the birth canal? Those of you that will continue, those of you that understand endurance, that this thing be birthed. What's happened? The seed of revival has been released, if you'll allow me. Conception has taken place. But he's calling on us to remain faithful and birth this thing. Birth this thing. Plus, now I'm going to talk about me and be nice to you, because that's just the way it is. How many of you feel like you've completed? No, I won't ask it. Gary, do you feel like you look in yourself, Gary. Is everything purged? God, no. I thank God there are a few more months that I can continue to be faithful. There's things in Gary that still got to be purged. I know it, and if you're close to me, you know. Well, don't talk to my wife. She really knows it. She probably won't tell you about it. She'll pray for me instead. I don't think he can. This is not the time to back off. This is the time to press in harder and harder. See, because the first thing, again, your prayer was answered. Well, we're at that point now. Revival has been granted. You got that, right? And they're not going to be able to stop it. But he warned us about a great war now. What's interesting, too, Sunday night, the last message at here at Sunday night at Calling in the Lost, before that message that we just watched, the title of that message Sunday night is Prepare for War. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows the timeline that we're on. See? And so Daniel was the first thing that he showed me. We are, conception has happened. The prayer has been released. God has granted this. But now there is a great war in the heavenlies that we're also going to see reflected on planet Earth. Because he mentioned now, Satan like a little child, more like a rebellious teenager, I think, that was all has been said yes to for 40 plus years, suddenly the body of Christ is rising up and saying, no, enough is enough. We're taking this land. In fact, we're reversing a lot of things that has been done. See, I see in America, and did you hear that line? The revival changes the nation, not changes in the nation produces revival. So that tells me revival is coming first. What if revival swept through the House of Representatives? What if every one of those people that today I can hardly stand, I want to mute every time I see their face on the TV, but God's been making me pray for them anyway. What if every one of them became evangelists? See, we got to start thinking like that. And how he brought that to me, Stephen's prayer, when he's being stoned to death, and there's Saul of Tarsus, who thought he was doing God a service. I think many of the people in our government think they're doing God a service. Saul thought he was, but they were destroying, he was destroying what God was doing. And he didn't know he was doing that. Even though he was a giant intellect, obviously, his IQ has to be off the chart. But see, Stephen released heaven to go after Saul of Tarsus. Saul was standing there with letters of authority giving approval for the stoning of Stephen. And the last thing Stephen did after, man, you talk about courage to stand there and say what he said in front of his accusers. But the last thing that he did, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Same prayer that, same thing Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Saul thought he did, but he didn't know what he was doing. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Mm-hmm. How did he take vengeance on Saul? Got him saved. Wouldn't that be something if revival swept through that camp? Let's get a bigger vision, people. Wouldn't that be something? And they'll have the chance, at least, to repent. But if they don't, I believe they're going to be removed. And it's the same. It's going to happen first in the churches, though. You heard that part about judgment in the churches? Another thing he showed me about Daniel. Don't we love the book of Daniel? Boy, did God answer Daniel's prayer. Daniel was just asking for a little, really. He wanted to understand the times. When God answered, he gave him all the way to the end. He saw to the end. What, that's glorious, isn't it? But do you know, in Daniel's personal life, not much changed. He was living in a foreign land. During his lifetime, Jerusalem lay in ruins. The walls were broken down. There was no temple. But Daniel remained faithful, right? Where Daniel lived over, he did see the fall of Nebuchadnezzar when Cyrus came and conquered Babylon. And Daniel lived a few years into Cyrus's reign, but he never saw the rebuilding. But he saw it in the spirit. Now, why are you saying that? I'm not going to do a message today about voting. I've already done that. If you're not going to vote, don't let me know it. Don't be around me. I'm serious. Don't be around me if you're not going to vote, because that is a vote. Okay, some of you have not heard what I saw Sunday afternoon, so I've only mentioned it once, and that was at Calling in the Lost. Sunday afternoon, I was reflecting on the morning message and what the Lord had said, and suddenly a little movie began playing in my mind. Now, this did not really happen, okay? It's playing in my mind. I call it a movie. It's what it looked like to me. You might call it a vision. I think it was. But I'm sitting on my couch at home, and then I see, like I'm looking out a window across the street to the yard across the street, and it wasn't even my neighbor, but I knew in this movie there was a mother running after a little child, 2 or 3 years old. And you know how little, this man's getting it, you know, little legs. And at first I thought they were playing. But then I noticed that the mother, this was not a game. The mother had a big butcher knife in her hand. And she was chasing her own child with the intent of killing it. Well, in this movie, I bound out the front door and I'm running across the street because I'm going to stop this murder. I'm not supposed to sit by and let the innocent be murdered. We could give you chapter and verse on that all day. You know, stand by and watch that happen? No. So in this movie, I'm running across the street. Man, I'm going to stop this. And I get right in the middle of the street and suddenly appears two policemen. One grabbing me by each arm and holding me back. And said, "You don't understand. In this nation, it is legal for mothers to murder their babies." Right at that moment, I heard a voice overhead, a big booming voice from above me somewhere. And the voice said, murder is not political. He does not look at abortion as a political issue. He looks at it as a murder issue. And if you vote for the party that endorses abortion, God help you. God help you. God have mercy on your soul. And if you don't vote at all, that is a vote. I did an illustration last week. I'm not going to do it again, but I had five people come up on each side of me. This side represents the people that will vote in line with God's word, and that side voted in line with, not in line with God's word. I will make it simpler. This side would vote pro-life. This side would vote pro-abortion. Is that clear enough? How about pro-murder? All right, 5 and 5. Well, we got the nation's pretty well divided, isn't it? Our nation right now is divided. So you say, well, it's equal. Yeah, except two of the Christians went and sat down and said, I'm just not going to vote. I'm not going to vote for that guy. I'm not going to vote. I don't like his personality. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm just going to be neutral. Not voting is not neutral. Amen. When you sat down, they won. Now that's the truth. That is the truth. Don't be around me. You're not going to like it. 50 million Americans have died. So you'd have the right to vote. Do you know how many people and how many countries would give anything to have the right to vote for their own government? To have that right? And you're going to sit on your blessed assurance at home? Sue and I paid for an abortion one time, to my eternal shame. And I know he's forgiven me. It was before we were born again. I know he's forgiven me. We thought we were doing the right thing. We thought we were helping this young girl out. She made a mistake. And I tell you, the mind of the world without Jesus is just stone crazy. It's just nuts. And we paid for the abortion, didn't really think much about it till after we got saved. And he started teaching us, and we saw what it really was. See, there's things that you can't undo. God forgives. He'll forgive a murderer. But there's consequences to your actions. He'll forgive a murderer, but the people he murdered are still dead. That doesn't bring them back. I cried for the life that we took. And if you've had an abortion, there's forgiveness. You'll see that child again. If you come to the Lord, serve the Lord, live for God, receive Jesus as your Savior, you'll see that child again. Yes, sir. Since it's public knowledge and she put it in the paper, I've always enjoyed how did Dave do this? I was walking past a Radio Shack window. And they happened to be playing Fleetwood Mac. And my soul did loveth Fleetwood Mac. I said, well, that's really good. And a couple of their songs I especially like, they had a singer named Stevie Nicks, who I especially thought she had a good voice, and I liked her. Now, this is public knowledge. She put it out within the last 2 weeks, available on the internet. And she was just almost bragging about the fact, if I had not had that abortion, Fleetwood Mac would never have existed. And she was putting the music in that album that they put out above the life of that child. He said, I would have been too busy. I never would have. She was justifying taking the life, murdering her own baby. Oh, so we could have good music. I doubt I'll ever listen to that again. I'll never be able to listen to it now without thinking about that baby. God, the mind of man without God is crazy. It's perverse and twisted. What kind of logic and reasoning is that? I bet Angie's glad I didn't abort hers. So I could make I couldn't make a good album. But for any reason. Yes, sir. Tim Tebow, who most of you would probably know, Tim Tebow, famous quarterback for the Florida Gators, thank God, you know. Tim Tebow was nearly aborted. His mother almost had an abortion. Changed her mind at the last minute. Boy, you ought to, he uses that. Thank God Tim Tebow's gone all over the world, you know, because he's famous and that he does everything he can for Christianity. He's the only football player, the first one at least that I ever saw, that, you know, they put that black under their eyes, but he had John 3:16 underneath there in the black. You could read it. It was so well done. Every time they did a close up, you could see that John 3:16 right there under each eye. Almost aborted. Almost grew up in heaven instead of on earth. Revival is going to change the nation. Yes, sir. I keep hearing birth canal. Now, we have prayed. We have done. Now, when I say we, I don't just mean here. We. You, all that have been doing their best to, my hands are trembling. All those that have been doing their best to do the blueprint, we have, conception has come. The seed has been released. Okay? But now, He is calling us. He is calling us and asking us. Those that know endurance, those that understand, I need you to keep doing what you've been doing. Keep declaring my word. Keep praying to bring this revival through the birth canal so that it can be birthed in the earth. Don't let up now. This is no time to let up. Yes, sir. Right then I saw the Last Supper. And then Jesus, right at the end of it, after they took of the bread, took of the wine, which is a type of what he was about to do. He says to them, the prince of this world cometh. I won't be talking with you much longer. I won't be saying much to you. And he doesn't say much after that. Because the prince of this world comes. But he has nothing in me. Jesus was completely purged. Why did the prince come before the cross? You want to see it? All you got to do is go to the Garden of Gethsemane. See, that temptation there, the trial that he went through there, the difficulty he went through there, was even more severe than the trial in the wilderness. I heard Holy Spirit tell me that, and I said, you got to give me chapter and verse. How do I preach that? He said, well, does it say that he sweat great drops of blood in the desert? Does not. So that trial that he was under, Satan, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. The very next thing we see is him agonizing in the garden to the point great drops of blood are falling. Father, if there's any way, all things are possible with you, Father. If there be any way, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. If there had been anything in him that the enemy could have latched hold of right at that moment when he's asking if there's any other way, if there'd been anything in him, not purged, anything in him to avoid the cross, boy, don't you know the enemy would have jumped on that. But he found nothing in him. Now Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master. It is sufficient that the disciple be as his master. See, I know there's many things in me that are purged that at one time would have turned me on a dime. There was a time when money would turn me easy. There was a time when other things would turn me. But see, I also know there's things in me that still need to be purged. And it doesn't matter what it is. I'm not asking about your stuff. Be quiet. Although it's no longer a nunya. I don't really need to know what it is, but I need to know you're working on purging it. Because if you're the soldier next to me in the foxhole, your nunyas have become my business. Because we're going to need each other in this. We're on the front lines. You better know the soldier on your... Did you hear what he said? He said, turn aside from those that don't believe this. You're either in this or you're not in this. I'm just watching. You're not in it. Get in it. And he says, turn aside from anybody who says, oh, this is a pipe dream. What do you mean? What are you talking about, a pipe dream? That America can really have another revival. Not just America, but the whole world. See, one of the goals stated at the return, I've heard it before that even, but 1 billion souls in this harvest. Well, America's only got 300 and some odd million. So if every man, woman, and child in America got saved, that's not near a billion. So he's talking worldwide harvest. And did you notice he in the Bring Me Gold, he says, I want to harvest not only in the world. I want to harvest in the church. I'm telling you right now, there are tons of church people that are not saved. Charles Finney, his number one mission, he says, I am an evangelist, all right, to the church. To try and get church people saved. Because in his day, the churches were full of them. Well, I believe it's the same today. So God plainly says in that prophecy, I want to harvest from the world. And I want to harvest from the church. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Did you notice it's conspicuously absent? The Lord said anything about the election? I know how I want it to go. I know how most of the prophets that we listen to, I know how they're saying it's going to go. Which, by the way, if it doesn't go that way, they won't be prophets to me anymore. Okay? We'll see. But if I'm not a prophet. I've never claimed to be a prophet. And he's not telling me. Okay? If he was, I would tell you. But what I feel on the inside of me, focus on the revival. Now, he is saying vote. Don't take what I'm saying away from. He is saying focus on the revival, not the election. Because what if the election goes the way we don't want it to go? Well, that's it. No chance for revival. All that tells me, he's going to get all those people saved at once. That's all it tells me. Because revival is coming. What did he say? What did the man say? The man. Did y'all see that one of just it was on video. President Trump, and he was saying, we need help from the boss. And he pointed right up. We need help from the boss. And he said, Jesus too. I mean, come on. Give the man some credit. I loved it. I had it on the 700 Club. And he didn't do it there, but they played the video there. The revival is coming. He said it is coming. So I know how I want the election to go. I know how I'm praying the election goes. See, yes, sir. He warned me recently, me personally, I guess I better warn you too. He warned me not to do what Peter did. See, Peter how many knows Peter loved the Lord? Absolutely, Peter loved the Lord. But he had he had a set mindset what would happen when Messiah come. I mean, they're under Roman rule. And so he's thinking, oh, this is it. Messiah has come. We're going to somehow resist Rome and the government's going to change. And he had a set predetermined idea of how it was going to be. So when he heard Jesus say, I'm going to be tortured, basically. I'm going to be whipped. I'm going to be abused. I'm going to be crucified. That did not fit Peter's vision. And it's a, you know, humble yourself. Peter, what he really did was, you need to listen, Jesus, I know more about this than you. That's not going to happen to you. Talk about needing to humble. We love Peter. I love Peter. But boy, you talk about needing to humble yourself. Well, see, he warned me not to have a presupposed idea that the election has to go this way in order for revival to come. You hear what I'm saying? Now, I know how I want it to go. I know how the prophets are saying it's going to go. And I really hope it goes that way. But I heard, we heard together, revival is coming. He didn't say a thing about the election results that I could tell. Now, he did talk about turning back the abortion. He did talk about that. It's kind of veiled, but it's in there. Okay? Well, that's going to take, that'll be something. See, I'm going to go further. I said, okay. Here's a, I'm changing my vision. Changing my vision. Thank God for Amy. Not only is a, yes, sir. I had more to that. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, so would you let me talk? Yes, sir. I knew this was going to be hard because I have so much Gary wants to say. I had a continuation of that vision later, not the same day, where the one I'm talking about where I ran across the street to stop the mother from murdering her child. And the policeman stopped me and said, no, in this nation, it's legal for mothers to murder their babies. Then I heard from overhead, murder is not political. Well, it continued. It really is the next day, and all of a sudden I'm seeing it again. This time, the policeman didn't stop me. Made me think, well, maybe the laws got changed. And because what I saw, I'm in the yard, there's the baby alive, and the mother is in a, wouldn't that be something? She's in a jail cell in the front yard. It's like a large telephone booth with bars. She's in basically a cage, but it's a jail cell. And you know what? She was still doing this with, for those who can't see me, she was with her arm with the butcher. She still had the butcher knife. I don't think they let you do that in jail. Anyway, but she had it, and she was still looking at that baby, reaching through the bars. And the reason that's important, that was the point. He said, the law will change. You've shown me. The law will change. We're going to stop. It's not going to be legal anymore. But that's not enough. We've got to change their heart. You got to change their heart. Because really, it's not going to stop them. They're just going to do the abortions in a more dangerous way. Okay? So first, yeah, we're going to change the law. I believe that's going to get turned back. But you got to change the heart. Otherwise, the killing is going to continue. That takes revival. That's why we got to focus on the revival. Not on the election. Although, I'll please vote. And vote righteously. So I'm understanding more and more how to pray for the leaders we have that, in my opinion, are just almost evil incarnate because of the way they go against the God of Israel. My God. I didn't know how to pray for him. He started forcing me months ago to start praying for them by name. It takes a little while to do that because there's a bunch of them. Gary in the natural would not walk across the street to spit on one of them if they were on fire, you know. But he made me. He just kept after me. He reminded me of when he was teaching me to forgive all those years ago. And I said, I don't even know how to pray for these people. How? And what do you mean pray for them? I don't know how to pray for them. And that's when he reminded me of Stephen praying for Saul. He says, they don't really know. Saul did not. He started showing me Saul's heart before. Saul thought he was doing God a service. These people may think that also. They may really think they're right and that they're doing God a service. My job is not, I'm not their judge. I'm supposed to pray for them. What did the master say? Love your enemies. I'm going, them? Love your enemies. And he, you know, the pray for, do for, bless them, don't curse them thing. So I said, well, and he showed me how Saul changed. I said, well, I guess that anybody can change. If Saul could change, anybody could change. So that's how I started praying for them, by name, one at a time. Takes a little while. I'm not going to. Who are they? You already know who they are. Anyway. By name, I start praying. Father, open her eyes. Yeah. Open their eyes. God. And because there is more than one. Open their eyes. They don't know what they're doing. Father, I'm just one believer, but I forgive. I'm trying to pray like Stephen prayed. I know Jesus prayed from the cross. Forgive them. They know not what they do. But Father, open their eyes. Knock them off their high horse, like you knocked Saul off of his high horse. Cause them to see and hear your voice, and they'll change. They need to get really saved, really filled with the Holy Ghost, repent, and hear your voice, and they'll change, Lord. So pray for our leaders. Pray for the ones that you like. Pray for the ones you don't like, okay? But revival is coming. Now, I love the title on here. This is an Alan closing. Yeah, he heard me. He's listening. Okay. What does an Alan closing mean? Nothing at all. Doesn't mean anything. Yes. See, he brought me right to it. I was going, where is that? I've got these printed out. Many will continue, and I encourage you to continue to speak my word as this birthing comes through the birth canal into the fullness. Let's declare his word over this nation. But I say unto you, this thing has been released in heaven. So we're really at day one of Daniel's 21-day thing. Because it says it was released. The day that he prayed, it was released. Well, we're told now that after this year of prayer, it's been released. But in the same way that there was a warfare in the heavenlies. And Daniel couldn't see that. He didn't know. All he knows is, I haven't gotten to my answer yet. 21 days, fasting and prayer. And the warfare was so intense, the first angel had to have help. Well, I think for some of the things he's promised here, we're going to all angels on deck. All angels on deck. But how many know how the angels really operate? The angels, they hearken to the voice of his word. It does not say, I used to confess that wrong. I said, well, the angels hearken to your word. That's not what it says. The angels hearken to the voice of your word. So as we give voice with the authority of our lips on planet Earth, which really Jesus has no lips on this planet but yours. When you speak God's word with the authority that he's given us, angels are loosed. Angels are loosed. Okay. Finish up with a... On the right hand and on the left. Now this is the last two paragraphs of the prophecy. This is my second Alan closing. On the right hand and on the left, you will see great things coming about. And at the same time, you will be seeing judgment in churches and in ministries. The candlestick of many well-known ministries will be removed. And the lack of anointing and the dryness of an arid place having no spirit will be my judgment. But if these will turn, I will receive them back again. Now notice, cities will be judged. Wow. Places will be judged. But at the same time, my spirit will be working to bring forth a great harvest, says the Spirit of grace. Stand in me. Now here's our assignment. Stand in me and declare these things as if they had happened yesterday. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. Because the day that you stand in, as I said, is far spent. And a new horizon is upon you now. A place that will be new to all of you. A place that you have petitioned me for all of these years going forward when you could not see. Sounds like Daniel during the 21 days. And you could not hear. But I say unto you, these days are upon you, says the Spirit of grace. The church is open for corporate prayer on Wednesday now from noon till 10 o'clock. Friday from noon to 10 o'clock. Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to noon. And did you know you're also allowed to pray at home? Shock face. What? Pray at home? What? Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I am excited. When I found out, I didn't realize it at first. I started going back and check. When I found out that it was a year and a day, the first service after the end of the year, I called Bronk because I wondered if he knew it. He wasn't aware of it either. So see, the Lord is one. The Lord knew it. We're both like little boys, like little kids at Christmas. Oh my God. We're really going to have revival. We're really going to have revival. Start imagining prayer back in our schools. Start imagining Bible studies back in our schools. Abortion being overturned. Same-sex marriage being overturned. Okay? It's an abomination to God. Not the people. We pray for the people. Okay? But I'm just not going to teach you on that today. We have to have a new vision. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, what you see in your hoper, I'm seeing revival. I'm seeing a real revival. And turning this nation back to God. Join with us. It's going to be an exciting time coming up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. This is actually a Gary closing. No, I'm worse than Alan on the closing. Now, there is a really strong prophecy that's already at the website on healing, where the Lord declared he declared healing really strong. But it's available at Bronx website also. But my instructions were stay laser focused on revival. But hallelujah. All right, we are going to have Calling in the Lost tonight at 7 o'clock. And it's a good practice for you. If you're a person that's not very good at calling those things which be not as though they were, I don't know where else you could go and get practice on doing it. And we'll have a little short teaching. And hallelujah. And also Gary, I promise you, is going to continue the purging process. I am going to continue it. There's things in Gary that still, as we get into revival, the enemy's going to come. And I don't want him to find anything in me. Don't want him to. So purging continues. Okay. I really am stopping.